الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا الأمين محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We'd like to continue so that we can finish inshallah this course on how to build an Islamic household. And we're on this, we have reached the subject of food. And we mentioned the last time we were together some of the etiquettes of eating. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Some of the etiquettes of eating and the reason why we Allah sent down the food and the drink. And also some of the foods that are nutritious for us to eat and some of the benefits of the food. We'd like to begin this evening with some more foods, but this time some fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and that we can take benefit from, of which He has made subservient to us and for us, and some of their nutritional value. And then we can go on with some of the citations from the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of these are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, and some of them are not. One of the other types of fruits that we didn't mention the last time, in vegetables and fruits, is papaya. And papaya, according to the people of this science, they say that papaya gets rid of acidosis, which when you have a problem with acids in your stomach, and it becomes inflamed. It also helps with colon disorders. And I'd like to stop here to say that 80% of all the illnesses that we have begins in the stomach, and the colon is the direct line to that stomach. And unfortunately, as we'll go on, inshallah, if Allah allows us, we'll find that in most cases, Muslims, human beings in general, we don't chew our food properly. And the way that the system is set up, our bodies that is that the teeth are designed in a manner by Allah, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir, the one who created, the one who originated, the one who fashioned. He is the one who created the teeth in a manner that it does exactly what it's supposed to do. And everything is interrelated and everything is interconnected. The front teeth are designed for snapping and breaking. And the back teeth, the molars, are the ones that are used for chewing. And sometimes what happens, not sometimes, but in most cases, when the human being chews the food, we don't chew it properly. We call it mastication. We don't chew it properly. So a lot of times, the food goes down into the pipe that it's supposed to go down to and reach in the stomach in a manner that it shouldn't be going down. In other words, the first stage of digestion is in the mouth, where there's fluids inside the mouth that assist the teeth to break it down into a smaller, like liquid manner, so that it can go down to the second stage and then the last stage through the colon. And what happens is that we eat the foods whole. In addition to this, we put food on top of food. This is a habit probably almost the vast majority of us have, that we put food on top of food in our mouths. We already have food in our mouths, and then we take the fork or the spoon or our fingers, if we're eating with our fingers, and we put more food on top of that, and then before that even goes down, we put more food on top of that. And this really shows the animalistic nature of the human being, how we can't control ourselves and how we just go overboard. And when every single thing that we do is designed to worship Allah. So therefore, when we don't do that properly, when the foods go down, the stomach is not designed to digest, to break down the material that's in our mouth, that came from our mouth. It's not designed to break down the material in the state that it's in. And then, because we don't eat properly, in addition to how many times we eat and the way we eat, and the types of food that we eat, those things stick to the colon, and it backs up those that system that's used to purge out and to release toxins. And we end up with toxins. We end up with bad eyesight. We end up with bad breath. We end up with liver problems. We end up with kidney problems. We end up with circulatory problems where we don't have good circulation, where we can't sit for cross-legged, that we're sitting down on the floor without switching our feet because our feet fall asleep. There's a variety of things that happen. So I would suggest that every Muslim, in addition to what we're going to be discussing the next two or three nights, that we, besides changing our diet, that every Muslim, inshallah, take at least one colonic in a month. And you can find this there's some Muslims who have this service, colonic irrigation, and I won't go into detail of what it is, but on how it's done, but what it does is, it's water that's inserted inside your body, and it cleans out your intestinal tract, your colon. And you'd be shocked in some systems when you see the waste matter that's been inside of your system maybe for years, that's become caked up and has become solid on the walls of your colon. And this is one of the reasons why we have aches and pains, and because of this problem. Colonic, from the word colon. Call it colonic. Colonic irrigation. Also, and someone may ask the question, why do we have to do this today, and they didn't do it in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The reason why they didn't do it in the time of the Prophet, and even before the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is because people ate differently, they exercised more, their eating habits were different, and what they were eating didn't have preservatives, didn't have pesticides, didn't have artificial flavoring, etc. So this is the reason. And the food that they ate was a high fiber based food, which helped send the nutrients throughout the body to help the person's body be able to stay healthy, which is the reason why we're created, is to worship Allah. And if we don't have healthy bodies, we can't properly worship Allah. This is one of the reasons why people can't stand up at night. This is one of the key reasons why people cannot stand up in tahajjud at night. And this is why Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said that the sign of a person with taqwa, one of the signs of a muttaqi, is his eating habits. One of the other benefits that we get from eating papaya is that it helps with enzymes. It has the enzyme. It helps with enzymes in the body. And also chronic illnesses, also digestion of protein, and ulcers. If you ever find yourself with gastritis, or you have a gas problem where you're breaking wind a lot, or your stomach is making that sound a lot, just go to the health food store, buy some natural papaya or the papaya pills, and chew them, eat them, it'll take care of that. You don't have to buy Pepto-Bismol and all these things that have these chemicals in it. These things are taken care of by the natural things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created. Also, papaya helps break down any substances that you don't need, the unwanted substances in your body, and including that uric and toxic acids in the body. And also, if your child has a digestion problem, your infant, that is, give your baby a piece of papaya. Just break it down, chew it up, put it in the baby's mouth. It'll help the baby. If you do it with the formula that you've given it, like for breastfeeding or whatever, natural formula, bananas, it helps the baby digest things. As for this other fruit that Allah created, raspberries. Raspberries helps with liver tonic, as a liver tonic. It helps diarrhea. It will stop diarrhea. Raspberries will also stop frequent urination. If you go to the bathroom, urinate a lot. It'll also help impotence. And this may sound like something people may not want to talk about in the masjid, but these are things that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba used to address. Impotence has a direct result on marriage and divorce. If a man is impotent, he can't keep an erection to satisfy his wife, this can cause a person to get a divorce. This is important. So what do? After we stand up at night to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to assist us, we can tell the person to change their diet, eat raspberries, tell the brother eat raspberries, this will help. Because Allah has given a solution to every problem before we even ask for it. Allahu Akbar. Also, the dried leaves of raspberries can be used as an herb, which makes a herb tea, raspberry tea, which helps in almost every conceivable female disorder. Almost every single female disorder known to man, raspberries will take care of it. As for peaches, peaches contain beta-carotene, vitamin A. It contains potassium. Peaches contain fiber, in addition to being low in calories. Peaches are also good for those suffering from cancer. Peaches have been proven to help cancer. And we're not talking about canned fruits, brothers, sisters. We're not talking about canned fruits. We're talking about natural papaya, natural raspberry, natural bananas, natural peaches. We're not talking about canned stuff now that's been sprayed, and then the chemical itself in the can, the lining in the can, in addition to the spray that they put on the fruits and vegetables, there's chemicals in the lining of the aluminum of the can that also goes into your body. We're talking about natural, if you can, organically grown fruits and vegetables. Peaches have also been known to help heart disease and some other types of illnesses. They also, of course, we know they're soft and easy to digest. And elderly people should always have this fruit in their diet. Peaches should not be bought when they're rock hard, and they should not be bought when they're extremely soft. They should be bought when they're just in between, and not with a green tint. They should have a creamy yellow or red color, and they should have a smell like a peach. You don't want to buy a peach that smells like a watermelon, right? As for pears, pears are a natural laxative. You don't have to buy X-Lax. That the chocolate that's on the X-Lax has probably it's probably made in a huge vat where people always find roaches, rodents that have fallen into the vat. You check some of these things out. You'll find in a lot of cases, these places which produce chocolate, they're huge vats with this huge piece of machinery that stirs it, and it's just watched by this one person, and things fall in it. This is like Hershey bars, Almond Joys. You just go, just one day, take a trip to see how these things are made. And you'd be shocked of how these things are made. So if you want to have a natural laxative, just make some pears. Smash it up, eat it, or eat the pear the way it is. Also, pears will help in chronic gallbladder disorders. And people have, we have a big gallbladder problem in the United States. Also, pears it's been proven that consistent pear consumption helps cure arthritis. Pears. And also it helps cure gout. And I don't know if you brothers know what gout is. Gout is when you have those big, your arms, your neck or your feet, your ankles swell up like the size of a grapefruit. Right? It also helps your lungs and also helps your stomach. And we know that pears are high in fiber content. Also, which is mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions pomegranates, which we call Chinese apples. This fruit is eaten, and it also can be used as a juice. And you find pomegranate juice all over the Middle East. If you go to Asia and Africa, you'll find pomegranate juice all over the place. They call it rumman. It's used to treat diarrhea. It's used to treat excessive perspiration. You can take pomegranate juice and gargle it for sore throats, for fevers, leucorrhea. If you have a tapeworm infestation, you can use pomegranate juice. And we already know about prunes. I don't think I have to tell anybody about prunes. Prunes are good for constipation. It's also good for parasites. It's also good for low blood cholesterol. And there's an acid in prunes called benzoic acid, which is used for liver disease, blood poisoning, and kidney disorders inside prunes. It has a high fiber content in the prune itself, not the juice. And remember what a prune is. Everybody know what a prune is, right? What is a prune? It's a dried plum, right? As for strawberries, strawberries have been proven to protect against viruses and cancer. It also protects DNA damage. Strawberries. It also protects against herpes simplex virus. Strawberries. It also helps against skin disorders and acne. Strawberries contain high amounts of vitamin C and have more fiber than a slice of whole grain bread. The fruit strawberries. It's high in potassium. It's an antioxidant, which all of us need. In fact, there are some fruits and vegetables that can be used as an antioxidant where you don't have to use tetracycline, ampicillin, amoxicillin. If you can use certain fruits and vegetables, it'll take care of that. And some herbs. Strawberries can block the transformation of nitrosaminin, which is a powerful cancer-causing substance. And the viruses that strawberries can destroy in the body are retroviruses and herpesviruses. They also mention, says, do not remove the strawberry caps until they are ready to eat. To keep the vitamin C intact. If you take the little top off the strawberry, the stem, they call it a cap. If you take that off, you'll lose the vitamin C content. Just that little thing that Allah put on top of the strawberry. And the brother's saying not only strawberries, all fruits. Watermelon is a natural diuretic. It's a natural diuretic. It's a blood purifier. It cleanses the tissues, and it gets rid of canker sores in your mouth. Watermelon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions garlic in the Quran. And we know that garlic is one of the types of vegetables that you can't go near the masjid after you've eaten it raw. Cooked garlic and cooked onions is okay to go to the masjid. But raw garlic and raw onions, you can't go to the masjid. And it's been proven that garlic lowers serum cholesterol. And there's a whole lot of things. I mean, it's just too much stuff that garlic... Garlic is used in treating allergies, arthritis, arteriosclerosis, cancer, diabetes, hypoglycemia, fungus disease, gastrointestinal disorders, colitis, pulmonary disease like asthma, bronchitis, and pneumonia. And I just read an article today, that it made another startling discovery that garlic, if it's broken down into a liquid, if you wash your hair with it, it'll strengthen your hair and make your hair grow and help get rid of baldness. It's all from Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, the one who loves us more than anything. You can use it in pill form. They have something called kaolic and some other things where they've taken away the smell of it, somewhat. Garlic, yes, mentioned in the Quran. Onions and garlic is mentioned. Garlic and onions is mentioned in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِ وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَدُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصْلِهَا. It says, and when you said to Moses, meaning the children of Israel, the Jews, and when you said to Musa, alayhi salatu salam, wa ala nabiyyina kathalik, we're not able to be patient with this one food. Come on, get rid of this. Come on, call on your Lord to give us another food. We can't take eating just this one food. This is what I said to Musa. فَدُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ. So call on your Lord, Musa. They did this arrogantly. They weren't really trying to, you know, be nice about it. They were doing it in an arrogant way. Call on your Lord, Musa, because we don't want to be patient eating this one type of food so he can bring some more food out of the earth for us. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know the number of this verse, where it says, مِمَّا تُنْبِتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ بَقَلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا. The green herbs, the garlics, the onions, the lentils, some pot herbs, and something else. I can't remember. Qithaa. I can't remember what qithaa is. You know what qithaa is? Qithaa.
qifa'.
I don't know. We'll find it inshallah. But there's five or six different vegetables mentioned in this ayah. And this is something that we really need to pay attention to. Anytime Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions foods in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions foods in the Sunnah, we should advantageously go to look and see what's the... First of all, we know it's got some benefit. If Allah mentions some fruits or vegetables in the Quran, the first thing should come to your mind is Allah wants you to eat it. He wants you to, because there's some benefit in it, right? Because look at what Musa said to them right after that. قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإنكم ما سألتم. Right? He said, do you want to exchange the higher for the lower? Do you want to exchange that which is good for that which is worse? So this tells us now that lentils, onions, garlics, these type of vegetables that Allah mentioned, has some benefit. It's proven that lentils, which is called adas in Arabic, adas, helps the eyesight. It helps strengthen the eyes. It's very interesting that in Arabic, the lentils is called adas, because what is this thing right in the middle of your eye here, that part of the eye? The dark part. The small one. What's the small dark part right here in the middle? I don't know. I always get confused between the cornea, the iris, and the pupil. Which one is the little one? That one right there, the black part right there. That little black one is the pupil? Right. Okay, so the little dot, black dot, right in the middle of the eye is called the what? That's the iris. Okay, this in Arabic is called adas. Adas. The contact lens are called adasa, because they're shaped like lentils, right? They're shaped like lentils, the little lentils, right? But when you look, it's walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But it's proven that lentils helps the eyes, and that's exactly what it looked like. It looks like that little thing on your eye. It helps your eyes. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. So we like to just mention just a couple more, and then we go to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's the best of guidance, whose sunnah is the best of guidance. Asparagus, and probably a whole lot of us don't like asparagus. Asparagus is very tasty as far as I'm concerned. It's very important. Asparagus protects against cancer. It builds healthy capillaries. It builds red blood cells. It stimulates the kidney and liver function. And it's a high potent diuretic. Asparagus contains high amounts of vitamins A, B complex, and C, as well as potassium, magnesium, and iron. It also contains rutin, which contributes to a strong capillary system. Another important element in asparagus is asparagine, which stimulates the kidneys, resulting in diuresis. And of course the kidneys is that which we use, it enables us to go to the bathroom. There's been a worldwide, in the worldwide cancer clinics, it says use 3 tablespoons of pureed asparagus. In a worldwide cancer clinic test, they use 3 tablespoons of pureed asparagus in their therapies, and the high amounts of carotene, vitamin C, and selenium makes this vegetable excellent for cancer treatment. We have something from the sisters, and I know the sisters know more about this stuff than we do in most cases. The sister's asking, what book are you reading from? I forgot the name of the book. I think it's called Wellness Fitness. I think it's called a Fitness Wellness. Wellness Fitness or Fitness Wellness. I forgot. No, it's not by Muslim.
No.
We want to just mention just a couple more. Another one is broccoli. Broccoli lowers the risk of cancer, primarily cancer of the colon, and also cancer of the esophagus, and also cancer of the larynx, and also cancer of the lung, and the prostate, and the oral cavity, the pharynx, and the stomach. This is broccoli. Allahu Akbar. Alright? Broccoli also blocks cell mutations. Alright? Which can foreshadow cancer. It was found that people who ate more broccoli, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts had a low risk of colon and rectal cancer. And I like to just add to this for myself, not from the book. Heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. The second highest is colon and rectal. The second highest is colon and rectal. And one of the reasons why the heart disease is so high is because of the colon. Because of what we put in our stomachs. Or because of what we don't put in our stomachs. All right? These are the 12 top vegetables. The 12 top vegetables. In order. Broccoli, kohlrabi, cauliflower, kale, turnip, radishes, rutabaga, cabbage, watercress, Brussels sprouts, mustard greens, horseradishes. And I would suggest that you get yourself a champion juicer, or you get yourself a juice man juicer, and one of the better kind, not the cheap ones, if you can afford it, inshallah. And regularly, instead of buying Minute Maid, instead of buying Tropicana, instead of buying these other things, take these fruits and these vegetables and juice your own juices from these fruits and these vegetables and drink, if you can, 2 glasses a day. This is along, of course, with the Tahajjud, along with fasting, along with zikr. All the stuff is related. Don't think it's unrelated. Of course, we mentioned organic, yes. And you'll see some results, inshallah. And once again, the reason why we're mentioning all of this, and some people may be bored about this, the reason why we're mentioning this, there's only one reason why we're mentioning all these things. It's because Allah sent down the food and the drink to worship Him. He wants our bodies to be healthy so we can stand up at night. So we can go out and give dawah. How can you go out and give dawah effectively when your body is run down? Because you're not eating properly. Your breath is smelling. You run away to people. The message of Islam is sweet and your breath is stinking. No, I mean, this doesn't make sense. You know, your teeth are falling out because you're not eating properly. You see? And Allahumma musta'an. Okay, now let's go to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who without a doubt is the best guidance, and there is no guidance better than his guidance. We have the hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never expressed disapproval of food. If he desired it, he ate it, and if he disliked it, he left it alone. This, brothers in Islam, is really This is a tremendous statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, "Ma aaba an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ta'aman qat." And for the brothers' information and the sisters' information who are listening, who are studying the Arabic language, this word qat, qaf, ta, with a shadda on the ta, qat, qat, is a word that's used normally with the fi'l madi. It's used with the past tense verb. That those verbs that we're learning now in the Arabic class. This qat is used along with the past tense verb. So if you say, ma salla rajulun qat. You say, if you just said, ma salla rajulun, this person didn't pray. But if you say, ma salla rajulun qat, that a man never prayed, means he never, ever, ever prayed. This hadith says, ما عاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طعاما قط. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, Abu al-Qasim al-Mustafa صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, according to Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه أجمعين, never ever ever found fault in food. Ever. How many of us can say that? None of us. I don't even have to ask the question. None of us can say that they never found fault in food. Now, what does this mean? Somebody may say, well, I never complained. I never found any fault in the food. But this is not what Abu Huraira means. What Abu Huraira means here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only never voiced any disapproval for food, even inside of himself, he never found it any disapproval of the food. And if he did find any disapproval of any food, if he liked it, he would eat it, and if he didn't, he would just leave it. He just leave it the way it was. And this is from Al-Mustafa, the great example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam al-Nawawi, he says that the word aaba, which is disapproval, it comes from the word aib. He says, هو أن يقول هذا مالح قليل الملح حامد. He says, this is to say that, for instance, you find something bitter, something salty in something, and you find something coarse in something, or something is not ripe, or it's not well done. You know, your wife brings you something, and you say it's not done. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never have said this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never have said it was too salty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never have found any fault in the food whatsoever. He was always a thankful servant to Allah. In his prayers, in his fasting, and whatever he did, he was always a thankful servant, sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And if he didn't like it, he would leave it. So this is an example that we should take, especially for those brothers whose wives can't cook well. This is an excellent quality to have. But you know how they can get if they find out that you don't approve their cooking, that they can't cook, that when you married them, their mother didn't really spend time in teaching them how to cook, or they didn't learn it from somewhere else. If you complain, brothers, once again, this can be a cause for divorce. Right? This can be a cause for divorce. Unless you already knew it before you married her, then if you knew that, you just have to handle it, inshallah. Just be patient. Or you could teach her to cook.
That's right.
But I think most of the brothers don't know how to cook, though. Now, I would almost guarantee that probably some of the brothers never even seen inside their kitchen. They probably accidentally go back, what room is that? Where did that room come from? Kitchen. That's why they're not eating right, because they don't go in and make those pots. Then we have another hadith where this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Abu Huraira said, أَنَّ رَجُلًا كَانَ يَأْكُلُ أَكْلًا كَثِيرًا فَأَسْلَمَ وَكَانَ يَأْكُلُ قَلِيلًا فَذُكِرَ ذَلِكَ لِلنَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَقَالَ إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَأْكُلُ فِي مِعِي وَاحِدٍ وَالْكَافِرَ يَأْكُلُ فِي سَبْعَةِ أَمْعِيَةٍ وَالْكَافِرَ يَأْكُلُ فِي سَبْعَةِ أَمْعِيَةٍ رواه البخاري. He said that a man used to eat a lot, used to eat great amounts of food. And then he took shahada, and he started eating a little amount of food. When this was mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam said, "The believer eats in one colon, one intestine, but the infidel, the pagan, the kafir, eats out of seven." And then the other narration goes on and says, "That was Bukhari." And the narration from Muslim says, on the authority of Abu Musa and Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that a man who was a pagan was entertained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He ordered a sheep to be milked, and the man drank what was drawn from the sheep. Then he drank another. Then he drank it again. And then another. And then another. And then another. And he drank the milk from which had been drawn from seven sheep. And in the morning, the man accepted Islam. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered a sheep to be milked for him again. When he had drunk what was drawn from it, he ordered another to be milked. But when he didn't finish all the milk, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The believer drinks in one intestine, wal kafiru yashrabu fi sab'ati ami'ah." That the believer drinks in one intestine, but the infidel drinks in seven. Is it literal? Allah knows best. Allah knows best. It could be talking about a spiritual intestine. It could be talking about both, physical and spiritual. But one of the things that the ulama mentioned about this hadith is that this shows the eating habits of the Muslims. That the eating Muslims don't force themselves to eat a whole lot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the kuffar eat a lot. Then the next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, collected by Bukhari and Muslim, طعام الواحد يكفي الاثنين وطعام الاثنين يكفي الأربعة وطعام الأربعة يكفي الثمانية. It's collected by Imam Muslim, on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu. He said, one person's food is enough for two. Two person's food is enough for four. And four person's food is enough for eight. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, brothers and sisters, and I bear witness there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. The messenger of Allah speaks the truth. And if we practice this, we'll have more money. If we all ate out of the same bowl with our wives and our children, instead of having separate plates, we ate with one big tray or one big plate, as the people of the past used to do, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, we'll notice that what we normally ate by ourselves, two people can eat. And two people will be enough for four people, and four will be enough for eight. Not only that, you'll become full. Not only that, as I mentioned in some weeks in the past, your wives won't have that much to wash. They won't have that many plates to be washing. Right? And it also brings more unity in the house. It brings more love and compassion in the house, because you're eating out of the same plate. And this is a tremendous blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where his wife, our mother, whom we should love more than our biological, physical mothers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likes sweet meats and honey. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked sweet meats and honey. يحب الحواء والعسل. يحب الحواء والعسل. He likes sweet meat and honey. And the sweet meat here, this is something that's eaten with, what they call it in English. They call it sweet meat. They translate it as sweet meat. But I forgot exactly what they call it. Inshallah, I will check it out. But it's well known in Morocco. It's well known in Morocco. And it's something that they add to the meat to make it that way. And Allah knows best. And Jabir radiallahu anhu said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سأل أهله الأدم فقالوا ما عندنا إلا خل فدعا به فجعل يأكل به ويقول نعم الإدام الخل نعم الإدام الخل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked his family for some condiments and was told that they only had vinegar. He called for it, and as he was using it in his food, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, vinegar is the best of condiments. Vinegar is the best of condiments. If we want to have the best of condiment in our food, instead of salt, we should try vinegar or something like it. And vinegar has also been scientifically proven to work some wonders. Now we're going to move on, inshallah, to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said about the garlic and the onions. We have the hadith from Jabir radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من أكل ثوما أو بصلا فليعتزلنا أو قال فليعتزل مسجدنا أو ليقعد في بيته. The Jabir radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who eats garlic or onions must keep away from us. And another narration, keep away from our masjid. And another narration, or he must stay in his house. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another narration, that Jabir said in another narration, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utiya biqadrin fihi khadiratum min buqul fawajada laha rihan faqal qarribuha. قربوها إلى بعض أصحابه وقال كل فإني أناجي من لا يتناجي. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought a pot containing some green vegetables, but on noticing that it had an odor, he told them to give it to one of his companions, to whom he said, eat it, for I have intimate conversation with the one on whom you don't have an intimate conversation with. And this hadith means that I have a conversation with the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who visit him to bring him revelation, etc., and visit him with glad tidings, etc., etc. And as far as you're concerned, companions, you don't have this ability and you don't have this situation, so you can eat the garlic. What we like to say about onions and garlic, and we only mentioned a few things about it, and that is that this is something that is mentioned in both Quran and the Sunnah. And this is something, two vegetables that we should keep in our homes. It's the two vegetables that we should keep in our homes as much as we can, and we should utilize it as much as we can. Someone may ask the question, well, the salat is five times obligatory on the Muslim man to go to the masjid. How do we do it? Simple. Either A, you eat the garlic when you get home at night after Isha, or you eat it after Fajr. Inshallah, it'll be gone by the time Zuhr comes. Or B, you cook it. You cook it, and you still get the benefit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the brothers and sisters who eat onions and their wives and their husbands can't stand it, then that's something that you need to consider. Even though it has this benefit, you don't want to break up your marriage because of garlic and onions. Inshallah. And then on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana idha rafa'a ma'idatahu قال الحمد لله الذي الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه غير مكفي ولا مودع ولا مستغنى عنه ربنا. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, when he was at the Prophet was at the Ma'ida, which is the thing that we put the food on, and there's a difference between a khwan or a khiwan and a Ma'ida. To the best of my knowledge, you can't call a ma'ida if it has food on it. It's called a khuwan. This is just an extra little benefit here, a linguistic gift I'm giving you, inshallah. Khuwan or khiwan, to the best of my memory, is the one with the food on or the one with it. No, the ma'ida is the one with the food on it, and the khuwan is the one without the food on it. So if you remove the food, that's called khuwan. If you put food on it, that same sheet or mat on the floor is called ma'ida. Not ma'ida, ma'ida. And this was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it was removed, after it was removed, he said, praise be to Allah abundantly and sincerely, of such a nature as is productive of blessing, is not insufficient, abandoned, or ignored, O our Lord. And this hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. As for what we say when we forget to say Bismillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is reported that he said, on the authority of our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, in an authentic hadith transmitted by Tirmidhi wa Abu Dawood, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَنَسِيَ أَنْ يَذْكُرَ اللَّهَ عَلَى طَعَامِهِ فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ وَآخِرَهُ. He said, when one of you eats and forgets to mention Bismillah, the name of Allah, over his food, he should say, before he finishes the food, while he's still eating or drinking, in the name of Allah at the beginning and at the end of it. In the name of Allah, in the beginning of it and at the end of it. We have another hadith. There's another hadith that the authenticity of it is not clear in my mind. It's not clear in my mind. Inshallah, it is authentic. Inshallah. Is at least Hasan li ghayrihi, as we say in the science of hadith, inshallah. And this hadith is on the authority of Umayyah ibn Makhshi radiyallahu anhu, who said, كان رجل يكل فلم يسمي حتى لم يبقى من طعامه إلا لقمة فلما رفعها إلى فيه قال بسم الله أوله وآخره فضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال ما زال الشيطان يأكل معه فلما ذكر اسم الله استقاء ما في بطنه. Now this hadith says that there was a man who was eating and didn't say Bismillah, and he hadn't some food still remained. It was only a little bit of food, a morsel of food that still remained while the man was eating. And when he was about to raise it to his mouth, the man said Bismillah in the beginning and in its end. So the Prophet started laughing, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet then said, according to this hadith, if it is authentic, that Shaitan continued to eat with him until he said the name of Allah. And when he said the name of Allah, Shaitan threw up what was in his stomach. In other words, Shaitan threw up what was in Shaitan's stomach when the man mentioned the name of Allah. All the food that Shaitan was eating with the man, when the man said Bismillah in the middle of his, while he was eating, the shaitan threw all the food up that he was eating with the man, because the man didn't say Bismillah in the beginning. Allahu Akbar. So let us not forget to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mention his name. Now, we have one more thing to mention, and inshallah, we'll end it. We'll end it, inshallah. Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. Yeah, there's another narration. Yes, another narration. Okay, this is some of the things we want to just mention in brief, pertaining to the eating and the drinking. Pertaining to the eating and the drinking, inshallah. Firstly, which we mentioned the other day, is that the person finds his food and drink which is healthy and is delicious. His food, his drink is healthy and delicious. That he remembers that he's doing it to strengthen his body, to praise Allah and to worship Allah. And he should have the intention for that, and that can be actually number two. If he can, he should wash his hands before eating. And this is not from the sunnah directly to wash your hands before eating. But this is a good practice, because we don't know what has been on our hands. Also, to put the food in a manner that is not like on the table. It's permissible to eat on the floor. And this is more humbler, believe it or not. And I found through the years that I feel uncomfortable now eating on a table. I actually feel uncomfortable. I go to Muslims' homes, and we're not saying it's haram, and we're not saying it's makruh. We're just saying that it seems to be more humble, it has a more humbling effect when you eat on the floor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ate on a dining table or on a platter. Ever. Never. And they were available at that time. I forgot what you call it, but you know, like a tray. Yeah, it's a tray. Like he would take it off and put it on a mat. Because he didn't want to be like the people who were arrogant and proud in the other nations. Like in Persia and Rome, they do things like this. Come with gold and silver in these trays and these big platters, you know. And that it causes something to the person's heart. Also, if it's possible to sit in a humble state, that the person, he or she, should kneel on their knees or sit on the back of their feet or erect their right foot and sit on their left foot, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, la akilu muttaki'an innama ana 'abdun akilun kama ya'kulu al-'abdu wa ajlisu kama yajlisu al-'abd. This hadith is collected by Abu Dawood in the Tirmidhi, and it's authentic inshallah. He said, I don't eat while I'm leaning, and I eat and sit as a slave. We should also be satisfied with the existing food and don't find any fault in it. And if we find fault, if we like it, we eat it. And if we don't, also we should try to eat with people and not by ourselves. And it's not haram to eat by yourself, but it's good to have guests over your home and to eat with your family or with your children, or for those of you who have maids, servants, or whatever, you can eat with your servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about those who have those things. Also, we should begin in the name of Allah, we should end with the praise of Allah. If we can, we should eat with three fingers and try not to eat a lot, and chew it in a good manner. Chew it in a good manner, inshallah. Of course, we should also eat with the right hand and drink with the right hand, and not eat with the left hand and drink with the left hand, because the shaitan eats and drinks with his left hand. We should also lick our fingers and don't be embarrassed in front of the kuffar. There's a narration. I doubt the authenticity of it, but the meaning of it is I love the meaning of it, but I don't know if it's authentic. It says that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu one day was eating, and some food dropped on the ground, and some of the Muslims were with him, and he was standing in front of some of the pagan Persian people, and he went to pick it up, and some of the Muslims said to him, according to this narration, that don't do that, you know, people are going to think we're barbaric, that we're uncouth, we don't have any civilization. He said, do you want me to forsake and give up the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah for these ignorant pagans? And he picked it up, brushed it off, and he ate it. Allah knows best if it's true or not, but definitely it's a nice practice, because Khairul Hadi, Hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, no doubt. No doubt about it. Also, we should not blow in our hot food. And you shouldn't blow in your children's food, no matter how small they are. Because they'll pick up this bad habit, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not made it makruh to blow in your food. It is forbidden to blow in your food. It's not makruh, it's haram. If you look at the wording that the Prophet used sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wording suggests that it's not permissible to blow in your food. Let it cool off, be patient, and let Allah's air cool it off. Nor should you blow in the water vessel that you're drinking from, the tea or whatever, and let the air from the outside cool off your drink, your food or your drink. We should also not eat from the middle of the plate or the tray. We should eat from that which is closest to us, around the edges, around the outside of the tray or the food. And also, we should not fill our bellies with more than what is a third. We should be one third for food, one third for drink, for the liquid, and one third for air. This is the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what we used to do, or what we do at home, in teaching the children, when we're instructing the children in the homeschool, we take the plate and divide it and make little signs on it. Food, one third, liquid, one third, air, one third. So when the children eat it, they look at it, they say that's all they can eat. So when that one third, when they finish eating the food, it's sectioned off, like a little three sections, and they look at the food and they see that one third there. So they know that's it. They have to stop. And the children will say, oh, see, I have one third left for the air. And then, you know, they have one third for food, one third for drink. That's how we train them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And of course, after we eat, we should make the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to make. And that dua is, Alhamdulillah alladhi saqani wa at'amani wa saqani wa ja'alni. No. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani wa razaqnihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. Whoever makes this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all their past sins is forgiven. As for the dua, it says, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alna min al-muslimin. This hadith is not authentic. It's not an authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Praise be to Allah, has fed me and given me drink, and has made us Muslims. This hadith is not authentic. And with that, inshallah, it's 7:48. If there are any questions about this, this may have been a boring class for most of us, but this is one thing that Shaitan, as we mentioned in the very beginning, he loves to catch us with as much as he can catch us. And we have, don't forget the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Shaitan is with us at everything that we do. So don't take this as a boring class, inshallah. Remember that eating and drinking is very important. And inshallah, we're going to continue next week if there's no questions. The jam of any of the fruits are okay to eat, but we should try our best to eat the organically grown fruits and that jam from that. And we should try not to eat jams. We're not saying these things are haram now. I'm not saying it's haram. But we should try to stay away from those jams that have red dye number 6 or 8 or 40, yellow dye in them to make the color. We should try to stay away from, inshallah, if we can, from sugar. Processed sugar that's placed inside the jam. If the jam is sweetened naturally by honey, this is better for us, for sure. Because honey is a purifier. As the man who had a problem with his stomach, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet said, eat honey. The man ate the honey and came back and said, it didn't work. The Prophet said, eat honey. The man came back again and said, it didn't work. The Prophet said, eat honey because it's a cure for everything. It's a cure for your stomach. The man said, it didn't work. The honey doesn't work. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, your stomach lies. Eat the honey. Your stomach is a liar. Eat the honey. Honey is a purifier. And the kuffar will tell you that honey is not good for infants. This is a lie. This is a lie. Not only is honey a protector, it's a natural antibacterium. It fights toxins and diseases and bacteria in your body. Honey is also used on the outside of your body. If you ever get a bad burn on your arm, on your leg, or anywhere in your body, take some natural honey, put it on the burn, it will go right away. Yes, if you eat some honey, you can't go to sleep, eat some honey. We're not talking about the processed honey. We're talking about natural, raw, organic honey. If you eat it and you go to bed at night, it'll calm your nerves. It's like a light-colored honey. It still sees the comb in it and the wax in it. These, they have one from Baltimore, Maryland called Really Raw Honey. It's excellent. But the processed one, like Golden Blossom, this is not the real honey. This stuff is processed. You see, it's nothing but sugar. It's not mixed up. But this is honey is something we should mix with the black seed. We should try to use black seed as much as we can. Garlic, onions, all these things. Allah sent these things down for us. And we should utilize them. If we can, stay away from drinking the water out of the faucet. And we're going to come to water, inshallah. Inshallah, next class will be totally devoted to water. Inshallah. And juices. Inshallah ta'ala. We didn't mention honeydew melon. We mentioned watermelon. And we didn't mention cantaloupe. But all these things have some benefit. And I'm sorry that we didn't have something to present for that. You know. But if we check, we can find that all of these fruits and vegetables have some benefit. We're even finding out now, not we, but the scientists are finding out just in the past few years, that the rind of the orange has as much benefit or maybe more benefit than the orange itself inside. At the rind, if you chew the rind. And that's why those people who have a juicer, when you juice, you should keep the pulp. Take that pulp, you can make popsicles for your children. Natural popsicles. You can learn how to, they have books to show you how to freeze them. In many cases, the book that comes with the juicer will show you how to use the pulp. And you can sprinkle it on your food, the pulp from the vegetables and fruits. You can sprinkle on your food and use it on the side also. There's a lot of things that we can do, you know, to help our health, inshallah. No. And the peeling from the orange, yeah. Yeah, he's also saying take when you peel the orange, you can take that and take the peels and you put making in the cakes and the porridges and things like this. This is something that's very, very beneficial. No. That's right. The seeds from the prunes, the seeds from the dates. That's the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, used to share dates. One or two dates, that's all they would have sometimes. They used to travel long distances and fight a jihad. And have two dates, and then they used to suck on a date, take one, the companion would take the date out of his mouth, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, take the date out of his mouth and give it to his brother in Islam, and let him suck on it. When they finished doing that, they would chew the date stone. They would chew the date stone. And this will give them, you know, whatever they needed. And this is something we throw them away. You can crush this up and you can do something with this. All these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. Allahu Akbar. The prune seeds. Yes. And these things. Coconut seeds. All these things. It's something that's benefit for us. And don't ever think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these things down for nothing. No. Everything has benefit in it. Everything has some type of benefit in it. That's right. That's right. Celery will take the smell away from the garlic. But I'd like to mention something that they mentioned here. It says red meat and whole fat dairy products have in common a high fat content and the possibility of bacterial and chemical contamination. It is common knowledge in the 1990s that including little red meat in the diet and using skim or no milk products are healthy practices. In other words, stay away from the meat as much as possible. Stay away from the way they produce the milk today as much as possible. If you can, eat very little red meat, especially beef, and try to drink, if you're going to drink milk, drink organically produced milk, if you can. Because it produces a lot of mucus on our lungs. There's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, البان البقرة شفاء وسمنها دواء ولحومها داء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the milk of the cow is an antidote. The fat of the cow is a medicine. And the flesh of the cow is an illness. It's an authentic hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. البان البقرة شفاء. The milk and the cream from the cow is an antidote. وَسَمْنُهَا دَوَاءَ. And the fat from the cow is a medicine. وَلُحُومُهَا دَاءَ. And the meat of the cow, beef, is an illness. And when I read the explanation from this in the book called Faidul Qadir by Sheikh Al-Manawi, rahimahullah, of the past, of centuries of old, which is the explanation of the book called Jami' al-Saghir by Imam al-Suyuti, it says that it was disliked by the people of the past, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, to eat a lot of beef. And today now we're seeing it, especially the way they're raised. Not only is it bad to eat it a lot, and we made a statement about 2 years ago that it was makruh. We don't mean that the eating of the beef is makruh. We didn't mean that when we said this. What we meant is that it's not makruh Islamically, it's disliked in a social way. To eat a lot of beef. That's what we mean by that. Because it has something in it. There's some other narrations, and Allah knows best the authenticity of it. I'm going to check it one day, inshallah. There's some narrations that are attributed to the Prophet, and we don't want to lie on the Messenger of Allah. That's why we keep saying we're not sure of the authenticity of it, because we don't want to just say the Prophet said something sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he didn't say it, or that he did something he didn't do it, because whoever says something about the Prophet and he didn't do sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to have their seat nullified. But it's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'll check the hadith inshallah, that he said that the meat of the lamb softens your heart and the meat of the cow makes your heart hard. Now, I don't know if this is a statement from the Messenger of Allah or not, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we do know for a fact, it's been proven, that beef consumption in high quantities has an effect on your blood, has an effect on the arteries, and has an effect on your heart. This is proven without a doubt. This is proven without a doubt. It says 40% of all of the antibiotics produced in our country are fed to animals. 40% of all the antibiotics produced in our country are fed to animals. To do what? To increase their growth and prevent bacterial disease. The continued use of antibiotics increases the risk of breeding super drug resistant bacteria, which may be transmitted from the animal to you. Antibiotics given to cattle, chickens, and sheep can produce serious problems in people. And we already know about the mad cow. Remember about the mad cow a few months ago? Right? These secondary antibiotics, secondary because the animal gets it first and then we get it second by eating its flesh, contribute to what is called candidiasis, and all forms of yeast infections. Over a period of time, antibiotics will destroy the friendly, quote-unquote, bacteria which are solely needed by the body for protection. People can build up a tolerance to antibiotics, finally reaching a point where they are ineffective. And the Humane Farming Association reports that veal and hogs, which we don't have to worry about, are infected with mutant bacteria requiring lots of antibiotics. They also mention that female hormones fed to cattle for growth are possible culprits behind the increases in female disorders like severe hot flashes, painful menses, breast lumps, and even cancer of the uterus and breast. Because of these hormones, premature development in young girls can lead to precocious sexuality and its associated problems. Wallahi! We ride down the street, and you know, in trying to lower my gaze, may Allah protect all the men and the women also. But the men have, I think, a more difficult problem than the women, because the women are more revealed than the men. Wallahi, my wife said, she said, look at these girls. And I said to her, because she's much younger than me, I said, when I was growing up, I'm 44 years old. When I was growing up, these girls didn't look the way they look now. These girls, these young 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, I know for a fact, I can remember like it was yesterday, they didn't look like this. These girls now, their breasts, their hips, their thighs, they're much bigger. They look like big women. And listen to what they say. They said that the female hormones fed to the cattle for growth are possible culprits behind the increase in female disorders like severe hot flashes, painful menstrual menses, breast lumps, and even cancer of the uterus and breast. And because of these hormones that are being shot in these animals, premature development in young girls can lead to precocious sexuality and its associated problems. The hormones can also cause premature aging and impotence in men. It increases the sexuality in the girls and makes impotence in men. And it's also the chemicals and pesticides found in the foods from the meat of these animals may also be problematic. Fat is connected to both cancer and heart disease. And we can go on and on and on and on and on. So with that, brothers and sisters, inshallah, yes, of course, the fast food restaurants are going to be even worse. And then in addition to this, the raising of the animal, I don't know how many of you, I got rid of my TV about 3 years ago, so I don't look at TV. But when I was looking at TV, they had something on 2020, I think it was 2020 or prime time. They were talking about Food Lion or Lion King or whatever it was. See, one of these chains of supermarkets around the United States where when the meat is there like 20 and 30 and 40 days and they change the date. Or they wash it in Clorox to get the stinky smell out of it. Or you see them dropping it on the floor and putting it back into the pack. And it was on prime time? Yeah, all kinds of crazy things they do to the food. Urinating on it? Urinating on the food? But this is something that's very, very dangerous. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us his afiyah and salama, to give us well-being and safety and security in this life and in the next. And please remember, brothers and sisters, inshallah, what Allah says in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. O human beings, eat of the earth that which is halal and good for you. And don't follow the footsteps of shaitan, for surely he is for you an avowed open enemy. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that some of the things that we eat is haram. I think it's clear that some of the things that we're eating is haram. I'm not going to say it's haram. I'm not an alim. But I have no doubt that Muslims shouldn't be drinking Pepsi Cola. I have no doubt in my mind that Muslims shouldn't be drinking, that Muslims should not be drinking Coca-Cola. That if you could stay away from these sodas, brothers and sisters, it'll be better for you. I'm not saying it's haram. And there's some people in South Africa, that's right, that says that Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola has a very small percentage of alcohol. Of alcohol. But brothers and sisters, it's not going to do you any benefit whatsoever. Pepsi Cola going in your kidneys is not going to help you at all. I'm telling you. It's not going to help you. I know it tastes good. But try to substitute that with natural juices and water. Don't give your children Pepsi. Especially at night. Especially at night. If you wonder why your children are running around the house like they're in some triathlon. No, you see the kids all hyper? Look at all the sugar you're getting them. You give them sugar, like the candy has sugar. The cakes have sugar. The sodas have sugar. Everything you give them is candy. Sugar. And you wonder why they Speedy Gonzales. We should eat vegetables first if it's possible. We should eat it organic, number one. Second, we should try our best to eat them raw as possible, or steamed. Because when you cook them, even though there's no problem, when you cook them, you bring the nutrients, it loses the nutrients and the vitamins from the food. It doesn't take all of it out, but you do lose. And you don't want to eat steamed food all the time. You know, you want to have some type of, you can stir fry your vegetables also, it's no problem. But in addition to this, before we get to the brothers, inshallah, and if anything from the sisters, in addition to this, we should try not to use aluminum pots. and Teflon-coated pots when we eat. We should use only those pots if we're able to buy them. And of course, if we stop spending our money on some other things, we'll be able to afford these things. Just buy one pot at a time. Buy only stainless steel, brothers and sisters. Stainless steel pots. Don't cook with aluminum. Because the aluminum and the Teflon, eventually the coating of it goes into the food after continuous cooking. It goes into your food and goes into your body. It can cause ptomaine, it can cause all kinds of stuff, botulism, all kinds of stuff. And this is only a reminder, as Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, because surely the reminding benefits the believers. The sister sent down a note, please repeat the dua to say at the end of your meals. Please say it slow enough so that I may write it down. You find this in authentic supplications, sister. Authentic supplications by Walid Al-Isa. And you can also find it in Supplications of the Night and the Day by Sister Sadiqa Sharafuddin. Rahimahumullah wa hafizahumullah. May Allah have mercy on both of them and preserve them. Ameen. But I'll say it again, inshallah, slowly in case you don't have the book. I think the book is here, right? Authentic supplications. Alhamdulillah alladhi ata'amani wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. Alhamdulillahilladhi ata'amani ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة. This is the authentic supplication of the Prophet, and there's others, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But with this one, he said, whoever says this after they've eaten, all of their past sins are forgiven. Just by making that dua. Just by making that dua, your past sins are forgiven. And there's another one similar to this. Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani wa razaqnihi min ghayri hawla minni wa la quwwa. Whoever says this after they put on new clothes, their sins are forgiven. The sister also says, is it true that chewing a black seed is bad for your digestive system? Chewing the black seed, to the best of my knowledge, no. The black seed is a different, there's different ways you can use black seed. Black seed, you can take it and crush it and use it as a powder with water and drink it like that, or you can sprinkle it on your food, or you can take 6 or 7 seeds and sniff it. You can sniff it into your nose, or you can take the oil and sniff it. It doesn't taste good at all, I'm telling you right now, it does not taste good. It's terrible, but it's good for you. You can also take the oil and put it on your body, you know, rashes, makes your beard look nice, makes your hair nice. They also have black seed shampoo. I use that. They have black seed shampoo. They have black seed toothpaste. They have black seed deodorant. Alright? And remember what the Prophet ﷺ said about the black seed? It cures all illnesses except death. No, I don't know anything against chewing it. I don't know anything against chewing it, but I know that you have to be careful chewing a lot, like handfuls of black seed, because it can give you constipation. Yeah, it can give you constipation. You're not supposed to use a lot of it. Use a couple of seeds, 6 or 7 seeds. Sprinkle it on your food, on your bread. And this is also something that we, maybe the sisters should try to get back to. Baking your own bread. Baking your own bread. Now, of course, people are going to probably say, I'm fanatical right now. I'm a fanatic. Oh, he's going too far now. I'm just going to go down to the shop right off Pathmark and buy some bread. I don't have time, brother. I'm working. You should try to get back to baking your own biscuits. I can't say that caffeine is haram, but for surety, one of the things that one of the people in our time, Hassan al-Banna from Egypt, rahimahullah, wa ghafrullahu lahu, he mentions in one of his letters, that we should avoid drinking coffee. That we should avoid drinking coffee. It's a stimulant. Yeah. It definitely alters your... It won't alter you to the point where you'll go out and kill people. You know. But it will alter your senses. It will alter your mental state. It's not extreme. But it does have an altering effect on the and you can see how people, when they go on a long trip, they're driving up and down the turnpike, they go stop and get some coffee. You see? There's something that we should try to avoid. You know? It's something that we should try to avoid. And if we could, there's a substitute for coffee. You can go to the health food store and buy something called Roma. It smells and tastes just like coffee, but it's all natural. Called Roma. All natural in the sense that it won't affect your senses. Yeah, and Lipton teas. Some of the teas has caffeine in it too. And please, brothers, I know some brothers like to use yohimbe. African yohimbe. Yohimbe and guarana are high in caffeine. They're high in caffeine content. Alright? Yeah, but it has a crashing effect when it wears off. It has a crashing effect. It has a slight depressing effect the way cocaine does a person. It's similar to that. Now, who's going to say something? Yeah, the brother's saying that if this is true, that shaitan, if the hadith is authentic, that shaitan throws up when we say bismillah after we forgot to say bismillah, that shaitan will be starving. Allah knows best if shaitan is going to starve. But we do know that he throws up, if that hadith is authentic. Now, the brother's asking the question, how do you understand the hadith, one third for food, one third for drink, one third for air? And basically, the way that's understood is that you don't eat until you're full. And you don't drink until you're full. And you know when you're full. You know when your stomach gets so bloated, when you've ate and you drink so much, that you can't even make ruku. Because it has an effect on your worship. You eat so much, you drink so much, you go Allahu Akbar, and you end up staying there. You can't even say Sami Allahu Muhammad, you can't even get back up. Yeah, you can't worship Allah. Next thing you know, you pass some gas, you're doing all kinds of things. Really. Food is directly connected to worship. No doubt about it, brothers. It's directly connected to worship. See? You eat bad foods, now your eyesight goes. Now you can't read the Quran. You eat bad foods, don't take care of your teeth, don't eat the right foods for your teeth, I mean your gums will be strong. Now you can't recite the Quran properly, you can't make idgham properly, you can't make ikhfa shafawi properly, you won't be able to recite with ghunna, because you don't have your teeth anymore. Because you didn't eat properly. You didn't take care of your teeth. No, seriously. Everything is related. You eat improperly, don't get good exercise, now you can't fight in jihad. You can't defend the Islamic State. They say, some people say carrots are good for your eyesight. There's some people who say this is baseless. Some people say there's no proof whatsoever. Like Dr. Robert Mendelson. He says this in a book that he's written called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. He's one of those anti-modern medicine doctors. He's a pediatrician, but he's against modern medicine. And I remember reading in that book, he said, there's no proof whatsoever that carrots strengthens the eyesight. Allah knows best. That's right. That's right, because I know someone personally that used to drink so much carrot juice that the palms of his hands, the soles of his feet, and his skin became orange. It's actually turned orange color. No. So we shouldn't overdo it, because again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُصْرِفِينَ. Allah doesn't love the extravagant and the wasters. They just go overboard. See, now all up. Brother Dawood said in the class and how to develop this Islamic household, we should eat healthy. No, next thing you know, you like those fanatical kuffar in the street, and they've gone so far now, they got thousands of pills that they take a month. You know, it's just taking pill after pill, vitamin after vitamin, and now you don't even use, you see some kuffar, they go so far now, they won't even use the regular light bulbs now. You go to a health food store now, they got some special type of light bulbs. They won't use regular material because they say the dyes go in their shirt, into their skin. So now they got a certain type of material without dyes in it, in the clothing. And next thing you know, you'll be a hermit living in the mountain somewhere. You know? Yeah, and at the same time, they worshiping shaitan. Their bodies are healthy, but they worshiping Jesus as the Son of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Drinking urine? No, this is not new. This is not new. This is old. Yeah, people of the past, like Nehru in Pakistan, India, in the Pakistan subcontinent. You know the guy where the Nehru collar comes from? He used to drink 8 ounces of his own urine every day, every morning. 8 ounces of his own urine. But that, yes, urine does have some healing properties. And you know, some of your grandmothers sometimes to take your diaper and wipe the baby's behind to get rid of rashes. And these are one of the things, you know, we weren't going to get into. We weren't going to get into this because we know that urine is najis. So we're not going to promote that. But there are some things that definitely are natural that we can do. We don't have time to go into it. One of the sisters just sent down something. And I think I mentioned it before, that cobwebs, if you put cobwebs on an open wound, it'll close up the wound. Take some cobwebs, so spider webs. Take it and put it on a cut, it'll close that cut up. How much exercise should we engage in? Is it important for us as Muslims to have fit, strong muscles all over our body for men and women? No, it's not that important. It's not important for the man to be looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger and like those women to be looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is a trick from a shaitan. But the person should be healthy, and we should exercise at least 15 minutes a day. And one of the best exercises that anybody can do is not jogging, it's not cycling, it's walking. One of the best exercises you can do is walk. This gets your cardiovascular thing going, you see, and walk with your arms moving, you know, in a more progressed, accelerated manner. This is something that's important for us because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'minu al-qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kulli khayr." That the strong believer is more better and more beloved to Allah than a weak believer, but in both of them is good. But Allah loves the strong believer better. This is the strong believer physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Take one off? Okay. So with that, inshallah, we call the adhan and we'll finish it here. And inshallah, we'll come back next week and we're going to be talking about water and the benefits of water. And the benefits of drinking juices. And inshallah, this will help us develop our homes into Islamic homes, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wahdaka la sharika lak. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.